Well, I just want to tell you about a quick podcast study here. As you know by now, we all do our very best to align the right sponsors to the podcast. It's a lot of work behind the scenes, and I'm incredibly grateful for your support. We're currently running a quick survey at podcaststudy.com, and we're giving the first 150 people a $10 digital Amazon gift card as an incentive to complete the survey. The information we hear from you about our sponsors is incredibly important to the show, and we can't thank you enough for taking a few minutes to help us out. I mean, come on, it's free. Now cut us a break. Upon completion of the survey, you'll be asked to include your email address, and we will send the first 150 people a $10 gift card from Amazon. Go to podcaststudy.com, and thank you again for helping our show and our sponsors. Well, in the first half, I'm going to introduce you to a big part of my childhood, Chungo. You'll be surprised. Also, Dave Damashek's joining us. We'll do like tweets as well. Right after this.
Hey guys, Jay Cutler. Started a new podcast called Uncut with Jay Cutler. Most of you know me from the NFL. Some of you have seen me on Instagram. And some of you know me from the reality TV world. Each week I'm taking you along with me as we discuss football, trending topics, and whatever's going on in my life each week. I'm bringing along people that are special in my life. Former teammates, friends, and some new people that I like and respect. That's what you're supposed to do, right? Podcasting? I think I'm doing this right. Can't wait to get started with you. Go subscribe now. Uncut with Jay Cutler. Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, and Spotify. Or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back inside the toolbox where the rock don't stop, not even for emergency vehicles. Rolling through the glorious month of September, we'll get the lead out while you get the red out of your eyes, sleepyhead. The four horsemen of the apocalypse are saddling up. The stock market is going down, which reminds me of a PSA. Ladies, try to be more like the stock market. Though we are past the major heat wave in Los Angeles, I need to remind you that it is fire season in California. So if you smoke, please smoke filtered cigarettes. You don't want to be breathing any of that forest fire air. Fat Life Hack brought to you by Black Angus. Black Angus, do we even exist anymore? If we do, we make the salad at your table. Clear skies throughout the week. The forecast is cast for you with traffic and weather together at the top of the hour. Make sure you tune in for tomorrow's Two for Tuesday. Double shots of that classic rock and a few songs you may have forgot. The request lines are open. The faithful are hoping. The Russians are doping. And we're all just coping. Same old song. September on the Toolbox is brought to you by Pampers. They make diapers. And that's why I don't have to take a pee break. 54 years ago today, the mighty Led Zeppelin recorded their first studio album, simply titled Led Zeppelin. Finally, in 1973, they would start actually titling their records, delivering the masterpiece Houses of the Holy, which, ironically, did not include the song Houses of the Holy. But it is where we get this guitargasm. The song remains the same, and the station remains the Toolbox. From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Dave Damashek. With Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and we'll play a spirited round of the Rotten Tomatoes game. And now, a man who still has a contact high from the Sid Croft interview. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice. We're going to mandate you get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. Love that about you. Right, Gina Grant?
That's right.
Handball, Brian.
Right.
Wow. That is so cool.
Dawson, that was A-plus excellent, man.
Thank you.
How do you do that? Do you write it all out the night before?
I start it. It takes about 3-4 days.
Mm-hmm.
And just start coming up with any new radio cliches you possibly can.
Black Angus.
I used to eat at Black Angus all the time, and I often like to use Olive Garden.
Mm-hmm.
But
It just comes.
I was a sizzler. We didn't get higher than sizzler.
Yeah, Black Angus is
Black
pretty
Angus
fancy.
Was kind of there was like made it. There was like sizzler, and then above it there was Black Angus right. and Love's. And a few places like that.
Like Outback Steakhouse.
When you're in Love's, the whole world's delicious. Yeah, Love's.
Never heard
Love's
of that.
Had a chain. They were kind of barbecue-y, ribsy. There was one out here. Anyway, we stopped at Sizzler.
Okay.
Once in a blue moon, made the lateral move over to Shakey's.
Okay.
It was pretty much Shakey's and Sizzler.
The pizza, that's, the chicken, the mojo Shakey's?
Yeah, when I started, there was a Shakey's in North Hollywood.
There's
I don't know if
still
it's still there. It's on Laurel
on
Canyon.
Laurel Canyon.
Stay on it
right
long
about
enough.
Burbank.
You'll get to Chatsworth as long as you turn left and go for 11 miles.
Right.
But it was right there. They had the player piano. They had the guys wearing the straw hats. Mm-hmm. And you would just order pizza back then and sit in these big banquet tables.
Did they do buffet style?
They didn't have the buffet. They didn't have the mojos and the chicken.
Right.
And then there were just a pizza place.
Like a respectable pizza place? For the Corollas, I guess.
I mean, you got to picture North Hollywood, California in the 70s. You know,
first off,
you think my dad was longing for a good slice like he used to get in the city back in the day? Like, he didn't fucking know what anything was. That guy ate cottage cheese and raisins for dinner.
It's vile.
So he didn't know what a good slice was. Nobody knew what a good slice was. Shakey's did one thing. And I still like their pizza, though I haven't had it in a million years. They just did super thin crust.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go super thin, it can only be so bad. That's really what it is.
There's a floor.
It's the pizza crust.
Yes. They just go thin. Don't get the chewy 3/4 inch stuff. Just go thin. When in doubt, go thin. And there's a floor.
Win.
It's
For
only
pizza
so
or
bad.
Dating.
You'll win. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, Dawson alluded to, is Black Angus even still in business? I proposed a week or so ago on Twitter, let's do Dead or Alive corporate edition.
Oh, I would like that.
Is Foster like Free still around?
Toys R Us?
Yeah.
Root Beer, A&W Root Beer.
Oh, right.
You know, the
Foster's Freeze.
That's what I said. The problem is, I mean, sort of the problem is when you go, is Virgin Airlines still around? You go, no, they got bought up by Alaskan Airlines or whatever. It's like, I imagine some of these people or some of these places either got bought up by somebody and that'll count, or are called something else in a different part of the country, like Hardee's or something.
It's a Foster's Freeze Kentucky Fried Chicken. Everybody knows that or whatever it is.
The one that sparked the idea, someone tweeted me, was like, Orange Julius, still around? I'm like, how would I fucking know that?
They're only
turns
in
out
malls.
They're still here.
But there's no malls.
There's no
So where could they be?
Orange Julius was, malls, but great.
But there's plenty of examples like Orange Julius where they're still around.
Right.
Who knew?
The A&W was great. The Foster's Freeze where you'd get the cone and dip it in the chocolate.
Right.
That, the soft swirl. Love's still up. Still
where?
Up and running, by the way.
We got to do this.
We got to do it. All right. So now I've never been in, like I said, one. But like what happened was what happened with Outback Steakhouse, as I've said more than once, which is I was always dirt poor and Sizzler was the ceiling, and then almost immediately became wealthy and never did the Outback and the Loves and the intermediate places. We went right over the top to Ruth Chris.
You were the only person who had a champagne budget and beer tastes. Usually it's the other way around.
Yeah,
champagne taste, but a beer budget.
No, I had tap water budget and beer taste.
I mean, once you made it.
Yeah. And then once I made it, I did have champagne budget and champagne taste. That's why I never made it to Outback. I never went down. I skipped over it.
There was a whole part of the Love's menu we just saw called Bonanzas on a Bun. And one of them was called the Porker.
Bonanzas?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's good.
Which I'm
when you're in Love's, the whole world's delicious.
I mean, that's a pretty good tagline.
Well, speaking of yesterday.
Still riding high.
I was, I thought Sid was great. And I was thinking about the interstitials on the banana splits and the Arabian Nights.
cartoon, but Danger Island. I love Danger Island. And I forgot a few things. Well, one I didn't forget. Danger Island was a young Jan Michael Vincent. I think some of his first shit. Now, I don't know about the internet, Chris, but you're going to have to check your thoughts, too. Danger Island, 1986 to 1989.
Oh, sorry, that's a typo. 68 to 69.
All right. Because it makes a difference. This was also directed by Richard Donner.
No shit. Star-studded.
Superman Goonies, director. Lethal Weapon. He
a legend.
Popped his cherry directing Danger Island. It was... I don't know where they filmed it. They filmed it somewhere. I don't know.
They filmed it in Mexico.
Okay. I knew it was weird. It's through the eyes of an 8-year-old Adam Carolla, but I still knew that wasn't the back lot at Universal. Right. It looked weird. Some of it looked dubbed. And there was this character named Chango, who was like the crazy native.
Chango means monkey.
Oh, yeah?
In Spanish.
Yeah, he ran around the island.
Problematic.
And they would yell, uh-oh, Chango! And he'd be like, ah! And he'd just run somewhere.
Was he only supposed to be partially human? Like, ah!
He's like Mango. He's like a man. He was Peepers.
He was tan and shirtless, as I recall. I'm sure he was claimed by AIDS in the 80s, so we'll try to figure out. But here's the opening to Danger Island. And this was a good day in the Carolla house. When I was sitting there watching the banana splits and they'd go to Danger Island. Sharks. Chango.
Natives.
Pirates. They do that weird Zoom thing.
Yeah, we're Zoom. Oh. Wait, what's happening?
I don't know what's going on.
It was... So,
where are they?
Cabo?
No, that's...
People fighting in fast motion on a ship and pirates and nobody knew what was going on culturally back then. So you could have like Mexicans and pirates and
tropical
Russian spies and stuff. You just put them all together and you just needed monkeys and ropes and boats and
cans.
People falling into water was a big part of and you do that thing with the lens where you zoom in, then you pull out, Boston then you zoom Towers, in, and then you speed it up.
Yep. Is this Catalina?
Said it was filmed in Mexico.
Oh, Mexico. Oh, I missed that. Sorry.
It's Chango, by the way. I think this is some sort of extended dance mix of the opening.
Oh,
I don't know if this is the actual opening.
Well, remember how long the Puffin stuff opening was?
Yeah. Danger Island.
That was a sizzle reel.
Was it supposed to be funny or like action-packed?
It was vaudevillian, wacky, and then sort of scary, and then wacky again.
Okay.
And I'd love to talk to Richard Donner about directing Danger Island in the 60s. Oh, we got it. We got the Chango. I think they would call for Chango. That was a big deal.
Oh, my.
Oh, he's in the tree like a monkey. This is very insensitive.
That was a big deal when you yelled for Chango.
What the fuck?
Everything was crazy.
Chango is raised by wildlife.
All right, tell Mike to book Chango. He was obviously in his 20s when he did this. He must have been an actor.
Chango was born in 1929.
1929?
But he understands that.
Chango can talk perfectly, only not with his mouth.
He would have been 40 years old.
Well, he looked good.
This is offensive.
Jan Michael Vincent, the height of his powers.
That's Mr. Peepers.
Yeah. Technically, that's a 5 and under.
They would take Jan Michael Vincent and they'd just go... He'd just go like, what are we doing? And they'd just be like, just take your shirt off. Just stand there.
Look good.
Just look annoyed with your shirt off.
Done and done.
You know, what's going on? And that was pretty much Jan Michael Vincent's career.
Wow.
At least the year. Yeah, that's pretty much his whole career.
I think Sid Croft might be the greatest guest we've ever had. That being said, I don't care for Danger Island.
What?
I like it.
The little I've seen doesn't appeal to me.
Well, yeah. You got to watch the entire series.
I don't
so
think
that's
I do.
What this weekend will be dedicated to.
Sorry, Tessa, no birthday party.
Yeah, and Danger Island's Hanna-Barbera.
Yeah.
Oh, that's why I hate it. Yeah.
Remember, Sid did the costumes for the Banana Splits.
Right.
But he did not do the content.
Mm-hmm. Got
that,
it.
That was Hanna-Barbera. Right. Okay. And, man, now you got to look for the Arabian Nights.
Oh, God. The Could Arabian it get more Nights. Offensive?
No, well, the Arabian Nights were, that was animated.
Okay.
And that was kind of Wonder Twins.
Wonder Twin power activate in the form of an eagle in a bucket of water, always.
Yeah, so the Arabian Nights, where they would go, size of a elephant, and the guy put his bracelets together and turn into an elephant.
That's
or
just
something.
Good, clean, magical fun.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So do you have, you want to do some, like tweets, Max Pat? We never really got to them last time.
Here we go. Here's the tweets he liked. He didn't reply because he cannot type. Here's the tweets he liked. Send him by you to piss him off all day and all night. Here's the tweets he liked.
Somebody tweeted me a crow drinking water and how they do it, but I never really figured out how they did it, but Chris can tell us.
Yeah, so there's an old fable where a thirsty crow would drink water out of a narrow pitcher by dropping pebbles into it.
And having it rise up.
Yeah, having it rise up.
Smart.
And then
I don't think either one of my kids could figure that one out, and they're in high school right now. Like, wow.
Yeah.
So is that what the crow was doing?
No, so this video went viral because everyone thought this crow was going to do it, but it went a different route.
Okay.
Okay.
He has pebbles, Ryan.
Has a water. He has the stones. He can't get to it.
Oh, he tipped it over.
Tipped it over.
Water's coming out. And he's drinking from the... Oh, just from the neck?
Yeah, so it just get bypassed all the pebbles, and so I just tip the bottle
that's
over.
That's underwhelming.
And just drink it.
That's underwhelming. Well, I thought there was a picture. I thought the picture was a stroke.
Deceiving. Yeah. I thought you saw this video because you liked it. But
no, I saw a straw in the picture. It was a bottle with a straw. Tipping it over is underwhelming.
Yeah, the thumbnail might have
While
been.
They look for that, I can't believe I forgot to bring this up. This happened literally 2 days ago, sitting on my couch, probably getting ready to come to the show. And I hear our couch is facing, it's 12 feet away from the fireplace. And I hear like a bong, 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 bong. And I can see the TV is kind of vibrating because the TV's mounted on the above the mantle on the fireplace. And I'm like, what is happening out there? And Chrissy comes and goes, what is that? And I'm like, I don't know. She goes out to look. It's a crow. You know the metal, whatever it is. What was the thing called that goes over your...
Spark arrestor.
Okay. Jesus. There you go. The thing that goes over the top of your chimney so the shit doesn't get down, whatever.
Chimney. The stack. Yeah. Yeah. Spark arrestor.
I'm struggling for the word. I have a fucking brain tumor.
I got it. I'm spark arrestor. That's not on you.
Yeah. Yeah. No. But explaining what it is to people. So, yes, it is a crow on the spark arrestor banging a peanut soda as to open it.
There wow. we go. Like, now bong, we're back bong, on track.
Bong, bong. Like, I could see the vibrations in the TV.
They're gonna
opening nuts on my chimney.
Be nice to them. They're gonna be our overlords soon. If somebody's not training these things for God knows what, we're leaving so much money on the table. I mean, forget about my security crows. Have them clean up litter like they do in other. Mm-hmm. There's just tons
Amsterdam.
And tons and tons of them everywhere. They're smart, and they will work for a kernel of corn.
They're motivated.
They're killing time anyway.
Yeah.
Yes. All right. Let's see. What else you got?
Here's the thumbnail that you saw. It kind of looks like it's just drinking out of the
Yeah,
bottle.
But that's right Maybe before that's, the bottle goes
they knocked
sideways.
It over. Mm-hmm.
Brian's story sounds like the Telltale Heart.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Look inside.
That's
Telltale
right.
Crow.
Wow.
All right. Well, there's another story from Oberlin College. I think we've talked about it on the show before in the bakery, but Dawson has the article.
Oberlin College has agreed to pay over $36 million to the family-owned bakery the Ohio school falsely accused of being racist in a shoplifting incident. Gibson's Bakery filed suit against the Progressive College in 2017 for siding with three black students who claimed the store racially profiled them when they were caught stealing from the shop the year before. The hefty payout comes after the Ohio Supreme Court last month denied Oberlin's bid to hear its appeal of the 2019 jury verdict, which found that the college defamed the bakery when a staffer made flyers claiming Oberlin College staffer made flyers claiming the Gibsons had a history of racial profiling.
Made flyers?
Wait, because some random kids robbed the place.
Wait, they did steal.
Yeah, but they happened to be black, so...
Well, look, as we've learned, if you steal a bicycle and you're black, it's racist to pursue that person or call the cops. Right. Look, this is bad. It's very bad. Now, I am not litigious, and I hate lawyers, and I hate a litigious society, but I am for all these people suing sometimes news outlets and sometimes colleges because something happens. In Oberlin's case, black students came in, shoplifted. This business had been there for like 100 years. It was like this bakery or something that served the college campus. Been there for 100 years. Black students came in, stole something. I think they pursued them. Then they called them racist. Then they made a flyer. And the next thing you know, there's an angry mob outside of this business calling them racist. Now, at a certain point, the only thing that's going to get these asshole race baiters to pump the brakes is the thought and threat of possible litigation, because they don't seem to want to do it on their own. They're certainly not into investigating what goes on before they do it. And I'm hoping that whether it's this or whether it's Tinhorn Flats and Mark Garagus's case and the city of Burbank, like at a certain point, everyone just needs to be sued to fucking slow their roll on all the craziness.
Do we have the flyer?
I'll tell you. Bakery owner Lorna Gibson said in a piece for the Post last week that her family's lives were turned upside down the night of the November 2016 robbery after the students who allegedly beat up her son claimed to cops that they were racially profiled.
Can I say this too? Whether you're students of Oberlin, faculty of Oberlin, or you know, you run the news desk at CNN, could you guys stop for a second and just go, what happened? And then they go, well, these black kids came in. Yeah. And then what? They stole stuff. Yeah. And then the guy owned the stuff, chased him down the street, and then he confronted them, and then the black kids beat him up.
Gibson's. So,
what are we doing with this?
Like,
no, we're making a flyer.
Oh, here's like, a flyer.
Can anyone go, what happened? This doesn't feel like it's flyer worthy.
It doesn't make a lot of sense. It says, don't buy, really big on top, and says, this is a racist establishment with a long account of racial profiling and discrimination. Today, we urge you to shop somewhere else in light of a particularly heinous event involving the owners of this establishment and local law enforcement. Please stand with us. Well, who wouldn't? That's so vague. It's like, oh, I don't want to.
Racial. It's a heinous event.
Based on this, I'm on their side.
I don't want to buy from them.
Right. So now they made $36 million from Oberlin College.
And now they can shut down Gibson's.
Good for them. But boy, please stop, everybody. Please, you're not making a better society.
You know what? Well, even though I think Dawson said this is from a staffer and not a student, in general, lawsuits like this will get the colleges to start yanking on the leash a little bit of the students. Like, whoa, 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 whoa. I know we've been behind you and you can sort of run this campus, but you're about to cost us a shit ton of money and you're not doing this again.
Right. Also, God, there was just another one of these with a female Duke volleyball player.
Oh, I saw some headline about this.
Okay, first things first. When the claim is every time I would go to serve, everyone would shout the N-word.
Oh, my God.
Just stop and go, what year is it and on what campus? And then who is this? And then first question out of my mouth, are they videotaping these games?
Yeah.
It seems like they're rolling film on these games. Why don't we check the tape before we get to it? But then ESPN and, you know, ABC and NBC, and they all just hit it. They just hit the ground running. And then what they do, and this is a scary time we're in, and this is why news outlets have to do their fucking due diligence. They go, the N-word was used
when this young black woman was serving, and then they go, this is outrageous.
That would be outrageous.
I agree, that is outrageous. If that happened, but we need to find out whether it happened first, just because that is outrageous.
The claim is outrageous.
The claim is outrageous, except for now it didn't happen because somebody who went to the school, I think it was Brigham Young, that they were doing this at, they went, well, why don't we just look at the tape and we have audio and we can hear if people are dropping N-bombs. But somehow their news division is far more advanced than CNN's and NBC's and ESPN's.
Yeah, it took the Cougar Chronicle to figure this out.
The student newspaper of BYU.
Yeah, with a mom featured each week on Page Six.
So she just, this girl's made it up? Sorry, I don't know the details.
Yeah, I don't know the details either. I just heard it. And look, here's what happens. If we create an environment where everyone has their ears peeled for this, then when you're serving and somebody shouts out anything that starts with an N or C or any other derogatory letter, then if you're in that, there's like a Woody Allen, I can't remember if it was Manhattan or whatever, but he's like, I can't remember the scene, but somebody said like, would you do this? And he, Jew? You said Jew? And it was like, yeah, you can kind of hear whatever. If your ears are looking for
tuned it. Tuned for that.
Then you will find that. So I don't even know if people are liars anymore. They're just looking.
Yeah, they're hearing. Right.
They're looking. So she's hearing something. She's 19 and is serving for a volleyball team. I'm looking more for CNN and ABC's response to this. Like, you have a news division. It's the same as the Nick Sandman thing. Can you just go, has anyone got tape? Do you have tape of this?
Yeah, investigating would be the first step.
Yes, but then they just do it.
First step.
And by the way, remember 10 minutes ago, Duke lacrosse?
Yeah.
And Mike Nifong, who was trying to imprison, he was trying to put the Duke lacrosse team away for rape.
Mm-hmm.
There was a black woman involved, and there was a party, and there was no evidence.
No video.
And she was nuts. Mm. And I don't know if I think she killed her boyfriend.
Ugh.
Oh,
a little bit later on. The whole point is it's been going on for a while. Look, everyone, go get the receipts and then make the allegations or at least follow it up.
Well, and this says, according to her godmother, I don't know if she was there or not, that in, you know, what I would imagine, like, you're kind of quiet. I don't know. You know volleyball more than me, but you can hear things when somebody serves. Every time she served, somebody shouted the N-word. Don't you think that person would have been pummeled by, I don't know, their eighth time screaming that?
I would like to think the cooler heads would prevail.
Absolutely.
Like, hey, shut the fuck up.
A police officer had to...
I mean, you can find news clips of it, but it's just like, again, first things first. Like this, if you are an attorney or you run an insurance company or something, and, you know, somebody comes in and goes, I was just sitting there in my car and this guy rammed me for no reason. He just rammed me. It'd be like, do you know that person? Mm-hmm. No, I've never met him before.
Like,
he must have a history.
Why would he ram you?
Yeah.
I don't know, because he's an asshole. Like, that's your, because you're the adult or the news outlet or the insurance company or the head of students at Oberlin College. That's your chance to go, wait a minute.
How exactly.
Yeah. So you're setting up to serve. They're yelling the N-word and I'm assuming everyone has heard
this.
Nodding at approval?
Yeah, if they're yelling at a gymnasium, everyone will heard it.
Doesn't one just stop at that point? Doesn't the official walk over and point at somebody? And wouldn't that happen?
She also said, the godmother also said that a white student came up to her goddaughter and said, you better watch your back on the way to the bus. And like, what the fuck? Like,
all right, well, look.
It was a friendly sort of like,
there's something on your back. There's
Here's what I'm saying, everyone. Keep going down this road. Just keep banging that racial drum, and we shall have more and more of this. And if we cannot find it, we shall create it.
Rachel Drum was the girl who was serving. That was the girl, Rachel Drum.
Really?
No.
Oh, I don't know.
That's a good name. Rachel Drum.
I thought it was a coincidence. All right, let's see. Damashek is here.
I have something I would love to bring up. And it really, I thought about it when we were watching I'm a Little Bit Country, I'm a Little Bit Rock and Roll with Donnie and Marie. Mm-hmm. And sort of just...
Wait, one more thing.
Yeah.
The super incensed news outlets. And when you, if you watch like a super cut of them going... It's 2022. We don't look at her as an athlete. We look at her as a black woman. It's like, it's just, have you fucks learned nothing? Have you learned nothing? Jussie Smollett, Duke Lacrosse, a million other hoaxes, the whole NASCAR Bubba thing with the news.
How many times do you want to go through this?
How many times do you want to fucking get baited into this shit before you do your goddamn due diligence?
You would think that grandstanding and pontificating would have gone down for recent, like, you know, revelations over, like, this isn't exactly what you think.
Right. Or are you kind of secretly hoping? That's my whole thing. You guys love it, and that's why we're doing it. All right, sorry. Go ahead.
So when we watched Donnie Marie, and who, when Donnie said, I'm a little bit rock and roll, which was clearly a lie, it got me thinking. One of my favorite songs, my favorite oldies, if you will, is Please, Mr. Postman. One of my favorites, The Marvelettes.
Great song.
I love it. I was blaring it in the car. Can we just get a little taste of that?
Beatles did a great cover.
It's just... love this.
It's got a little, it's a little raw.
Yes. It has so much soul. It's so good.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of my favorite songs. So, okay.
I love the backing vocals aren't perfect.
Yeah, the claps are kind of, it's just, it's perfect.
Yeah.
So I'm listening to this in the car. I'm blaring it. I love this song. And then Spotify played what was next. And I was like, oh, it's the Carpenters version.
Oh, yeah.
Of Please, Mr. Postman.
Big hit from the 70s.
And my heart fucking sang.
This is the like most whitest sanitized version.
This was,
you got your heart lifted a few months ago.
This was the most soulless thing I've ever heard in my life.
This is a rice cake.
Yeah.
It was so, I felt nothing.
This is a hate crime, Oberlin.
Thank you. I just thought, this is how you suck the soul out of a song. This is the saddest.
This is like the Kidz Bop version.
Absolutely.
I remember... You know how you can take a song or an event and kind of link it to a place or a moment?
Sure.
Like, we all know where we were the first time we heard, uh-oh, Chungo! He was probably the world's first crack addict. Like,
oh, sure.
But
scratching his neck.
Yeah. Where's that actor, Max Zapata?
Where's Chungo
What's
now?
What's his credits? Get that guy's IMDb. Worked up.
Well, he was 40 then.
Yeah, he was 40 then.
All right, so.
His name's Kim Kahana Sr., American actor, stunt performer, and action choreographer of Hawaiian and Japanese descent. He's done stunts for over 300 movies and TV shows.
Damn.
And runs a stunt school in Groveland, Florida, which has trained over 15,000 students.
Currently?
I mean, his wiki does not say he has died.
Good for him.
Well, as we learned from the great Sid Croft yesterday, my God, everyone's got a story and a book. And I think I got, and I'll circle back to Mr. Postman, but I got lulled into a weird false sense of lethargy.
Mm.
Like, I spent too much time around my family, and I realized their diary was all blank pages.
Sure.
You know what I mean? And I just... sort of, you know, like, well, we, you know, we got up and sat on the sofa, and then we got up and went to work, or maybe we went out of town or something. But there was just, it was so fucking pedestrian.
Right.
Like, there was just nothingness, you know. And my friends were like, yeah, my mom works at the book bindery downtown, and my mom works at the Far East Terrace. She's a cocktail waitress. And it was like, they just lived in apartments and went to their crappy jobs. So in terms of, like, life experiences, I was just like, you know, you get older and you sit on a sofa and then you go to work for a while.
16 tons.
And then you like come home.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you watch some TV. And the weekend comes around and you hang out.
Yeah.
Like I wasn't prepared for everybody in this crazy pageantry, this mosaic of life, the
activity, employment,
collaborations and endeavors. Yeah. I just wasn't like my grandparents. You know, had the book, you know, Europe on $8 a day or whatever. And once a year, they would go as a full econo line to Europe because my grandmother had the government job at the VA, and she'd get, you know, 3 weeks off, and that was about as it. That was as big as it got.
Well,
as big as it got. I did not know there was such a thing as puppet shows or starting stunt schools.
Yeah, so Chongo, I just got to read you a couple of lines from his life. It's pretty great. So, unable to read or write, he dropped out of school in third grade, age 13, hitchhiked across the United States by himself, sometimes stealing in order to eat, served as a paratrooper in the Korean War, shot.
What? I'm sorry, this is the fictional history of Chongo? This is the man who opened the...
This is Kim, okay. Kim Kahana, where he was captured and shot by an enemy firing squad, feigning death. He was left by his captors in a mass grave from which he escaped. A hand grenade explosion also rendered him sightless for 2 years and permanently blind in his left eye. He was awarded a Silver Star and 2 Bronze Star medals and 2 Purple Hearts for his services. In 55, he survived a plane crash in Texas that killed the other 32 people on board.
Jesus Christ.
Wait a minute.
Holy shit.
The other 32? I mean, did everyone die in this plane crash with Chongo? Like,
yeah, so surviving this crash and his experiences.
The firing squad!
Armed life.
Who survives? What a...
He was a mass grave.
Who survives firing squads? Way less than 20%.
Oh, well, sure.
Significantly.
Yeah.
Significantly. Yeah, I'm saying less. Yeah, significantly less. All right. Wow.
Yeah.
It's
incredible.
We got to have Chongo on.
I'm going
to
call a stunt school today. Let's find out where
he is. Let's get Chongo, man.
Wow.
And by the way, then I would show up at school the next day and announce, uh-oh, Chongo! You know, because that's all we
that
had.
That must have killed.
I had that. I had the Loves theme song. Yeah. Had a lot of, I could reach into my bag of tricks, and I'd entertain the whole third grade. When you're in, oh, Chongo! Next up, after lunch, Pete Ellis Dodge theme, everyone. So buckle up.
3 o'clock show's never like the one. Come
Jesus
twice.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, I was...
Chongo.
Magic Mountain, we knew what Disneyland was.
Sure.
But Magic Mountain was newer.
But Magic Mountain was closer to your house.
No.
In Valencia?
There wasn't much traffic.
Had to have been.
Well, North Hollywood to...
Anaheim's,
it's a haul. It's probably 37, 41 miles or
from
something like that.
Yeah, at least.
Well, it's the problem is the traffic now. Yeah. The straight line is 40 miles. It takes 2-3 hours to do it.
Freeways.
But Magic Mountain is probably marginally closer, but it involved a hill.
Oh, I see. Metaphorically.
And we had cars that couldn't make it up hills.
True.
Cars would overheat and vapor lock and stuff. We couldn't pack 5 kids into a car and then go up an incline. That was unthinkable.
See, that's funny because Anaheim is twice as far.
Is it?
Yeah. One's 42 miles and one's 19 miles. But you're at the hill. You don't have a choice.
From North Hollywood.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it was newer. It was different. And legends sprang up about the different kinds of roller coasters they had there, but no one had been there. Yeah. And then, of course, one kid would go.
Oh, he'd tell
tales. Then he'd come back down to town and regale us. Oh. You know, we'd start a campfire at Walter Reed Junior High, and he'd get around it. And at some point, he'd spit his whiskey into it, and a flame would fire up and tell us the lore of the Colossus. It's an all wooden roller coaster.
That's right, the Colossus.
But, and so... At some point, I went, but of course not with my family. I went with Duke Gallagher.
That's not
my
real.
My peewee football coach. He decided that we should all, at the end of the year, he would take everyone to Magic Mountain.
Wow.
And we got into the car, the big station wagon, the big, you know, Buick Skylark wagon
three
or whatever.
Three of you facing backwards.
Right, back then. And we were heading home, and he brought Kelly, his youngest daughter, his daughter, I guess. She was a year young. She was a cheerleader. A beautiful blonde with like pigtails and stuff. I had such a crush on her. And this song came on. The
Mr.
Carpenter's
Postman?
Version. And I was like, oh, yeah.
Grooving.
I was grooving to it. Yes.
Life won't get any better than this moment.
No. It was all literally downhill from there. We drove down to North Hollywood.
Literally.
I got dropped off at my piece of shit house. And it was all a skid from there. All right. Let me tell you about Geico. Do you own, do you rent your home? Well, you do one or the other. And you know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico.
Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around the house. So go to geico.com, get a quote, and see just how much you could save. It's easy. At Geico, go to geico.com today, figure out just how much you could save. Damashek in. Rotten Tomatoes coming down the pike. We'll do all that after this. You own, you rent your home? Sure you do. And it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you have so much to do already around your home. Why not make it easy? Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see just how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Just $25, you get wine and gifts. Ace's favorite stuff or products from ACS. Every single month, you get the drink you choose. It's hard to beat cool stuff and booze. Adam's Monthly Nut. Adam's Monthly Nut.
People of Earth, it's time for another installment of Adam's Monthly Nut. This month, we got things that will take care of your body, soul, and scrotum. Like a sample pack of Tame the Beast Nut Butter, a blend with Tuck Everlasting anti-aging and anti-chafing ingredients that will keep your sack high and tight. We've also got the great Dano's Seasoning, who will make each and every kind of meat taste even better, whether it's beef, pork, or your fellow man. Dano's is low sodium and no sugar, so even Vinny will approve. We've also got Nude Mints to not only freshen your breath, but your gut biome too. These incredible products and a bottle of your choice can be found at CorollaDrinks.com for only $25. So prep your mails box. A new month of Adam's Monthly Nut has arrived.
And now, Alcoa presents Definitely Not a Jew on the Adam Carolla Show. Dateline, Apollo Beach, Florida. A 46-year-old man pled guilty to one count of interstate transportation of stolen property after stealing or trying to steal 84 golf carts. Definitely not a Jew.
Dave Damashek in studio, fresh off his dismissal from the football from the Roto League. We'll talk about that and John Hamm and how that all went down.
Well, I'd rather you not mention
that. Well, we have a funny rebuttal that you put together.
I just assume you not mention his name, though.
Well, you know, again, I use this as an example. Monica Lewinsky goes on the late night shows. Her publicist says, we're only talking about the handbags.
Right.
And unfortunately for the host, it puts them in a bad position because the audience.
The people want to know.
Right.
Why don't we make a compromise? As Dave knows, in Hebrew or in Yiddish, when something's not kosher, it's Traif, John Hamm.
So he's Hamm is Traif.
It's right there.
He's the Traif.
It's right there. Yeah.
Well, I know there's some racial overtones to what happened. If not racial, but certainly religious and ethnic.
I'm asking questions. That's all.
Oh my God.
About John Hamm?
I don't know.
Well, John Hamm was the one who booted you out of the league.
Like I say, I'd be more comfortable. Maybe you could just refer to him as the fourth lead in tag.
Right.
Let's honor
his
work.
That's what he's famous for.
Let's honor him.
Or
at
the
least,
Geico guy.
Here's what I don't
understand. You had Mark Garagos draft up an agreement.
I know.
That said, a legally binding agreement.
That's goddamn right.
At great expense to yourself, I'm guessing.
I'm not one to talk about that.
But to make sure that you couldn't be removed from the league for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And you had people sign that agreement, or what was it based on?
Yeah, Mark Garagos, world famous attorney with whom you're familiar, drafted a, you know, it took time and it cost what it cost, you know.
Understood.
I wanted gauche to get any further into that.
And, you know, it said, if Dave Damashek, champion once again, what else is new, sees fit to not kick you out on this night. For the next 5 years, you can never attempt to kick him out. And John Hamm said, "Feh." You know what I say to that? Definitely not a Jew. I say something else, too.
Wait, did he sign it?
Oh, he signed it. That's
he
right.
He signed the document.
If you wish to take this to the next level and get in touch with your friend Mark Garagos, I'm not going to stand in your way.
Oh, boy.
It was invoked in the moment, and I was laughed at. And you know what? I don't.
You have an executed copy.
That's right.
Of the contract that John Hamm signed.
Yep.
Sober, willing, a villain free.
That's right.
Will.
Yeah. And then and you know what he said? Good luck with that. That's what he said. Good luck with that.
Wow.
Really thumbed his nose in your face.
I was going to say this as well. It's he's also in defiance of a legal document, but more importantly and more fundamentally on the human scale, he's a jerk! Come on, Ball. Be ready with that. Would you please?
All right, so the league consists of you and Simmons and Sal and all the notables.
Simmons.
Is Simmons gone?
Oh, Bill. Oh, yeah, Bill Simmons, yeah. Right.
Anyway, and whoever
I forgot about him,
not Richardson.
Whoever wins gets to kick out whoever the next year. So
yeah,
Hamm,
you and me have always won. Parked our cars in the same garage on this, Ace. Fantasy football is for nerds.
Oh, but
you know?
I don't know, lame.
Who does that?
Who
at
even
this
want
point,
to participate?
Right?
Now he
grown
did,
up people.
He did cite you losing what was essentially the Stanley Cup trophy, the trophy that had been around for 25 years.
Who
for
gives
Cousin
a good
Seth?
Goddamn?
Well,
this is a man. This is a man who is in more than one commercial with Flo from Progressive. What more can he need? He needs a trophy in addition to that, you know?
Well, should we
so many blessings.
Should we run you and Hinch's sort of rebuttal or you and Hinch on Hamm?
If you want
this?
To.
Okay. Let's do that.
John Hamm, a.k.a. Dick Whitman, putting the dick in Dick Whitman. I don't know if it's public that he's an anti-Semite, but he is. And he kicked out Damashek. Apparently, John Hamm left all his creative juices with Flo, making the Progressive ads, because there was nothing clever about this. This was lazily done. His career pivots to a large degree on his looks, and so it's not suitable to his career to be the second most handsome guy in the league.
Oh,
so he has to get
point.
Rid of me on that
fair
level.
Fair point.
He's like the Cincinnati Bengals or the Cleveland Browns. Like, he sees that the ceiling, he's going to keep bonking his head on the ceiling so long as the Pittsburgh Steelers are in the division. Cool cats are that, the dynasty.
There is so much wrong with all that raving lunacy. Well, obviously he's not the Browns or Bengals, because the reason he was able to throw you out of the f-ing league was because he's the champion.
I can't knock off the top tier power brokers seated at this table here, Hollywood power players who might be able to help me book Cocoon 3 in the Alfred Brimley role. So I better not go after Hedge. I better not go after Simmons. They might be able to do something for me. Oh, I know who's a fun disposable punchline for all of us to laugh at as he tucks tail and walks out. Dave the Jew.
A lot of people didn't hear it on the video when he said Dave the Jew. A lot of people didn't hear it.
Dave the Jew, get out. That's what he said to me. Bad for anybody else.
By the way, you kicked me out last year. Like, what am I supposed to be saying right now? I feel, oh my God, my f***ing heart.
Because you're a traitor. You ran off and joined the JV league of Bill Simmons.
Oh, you've been on TV and in a movie or two.
Tag, right? Was the movie I'm thinking of? That's the one I saw him in on the big screen.
I mean, how great would it have been if...
I mean, I didn't see it. Nobody did, but you get my point.
I think it's valid.
Oh, please don't be this person. Don't be a weirdo.
The guy who lost the trophy.
Who gives a crap?
Why are you the only person who thinks this is a non-event?
John Hamm is a 63-year-old man. What does he care about a dumb football trophy for? This is a guy who's been in multiple commercials with Flo. I mean, he needs a trophy.
Oh, he's in Top Gun 2. Yeah, like for him, it was a documentary. He played a jerk.
You're out of your mind. You're out of the league and you're out of your mind.
All right. Wow. Well.
Well done. Piss and vinegar.
I was in my feelings that
Tough
day.
Prefer.
Yeah, you were. And I, you know, look, we don't agree on everything, but the fact that Hinch is a Hollywood power broker and Simmons is a Hollywood power broker and Hamm needs roles, he needs gigs, he needs work.
Sal knows Jimmy Kimmel, that's close enough for Hamm.
Right.
Don't want to poke that bear either.
Right. Yeah, don't poke that bear.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly.
If you listen closely, and now that you say that, I seem to remember, we watched it, we saw the video of you getting kicked. Now that I think about it, I feel like he did say Dave the Jew.
I may have heard
I
that
I don't remember
too.
At the time, but
I remember
starting
I was
to...
serving a volleyball up, and I right. heard oh, somebody yeah. in the right. crowd yell, Jew. Yeah.
Unsurprising, you mentioned volleyball. Down in Mississippi, you heard about the Brett Favre scandal, mm-hmm. scandal yeah. taking money from the poor to yeah. buy his daughter a volleyball court. John Hamm involved in that as well. I mean, that's
oh, I have that in the news. I don't have John Hamm's name.
Everything
involved.
That John Hamm touches dies. That's his oh, name. That's God. What they've been saying on cable news for years.
Not
now.
Women's yeah. lust, but everything else.
All right.
Now, how many times? So many people have asked me about the number of women, legitimately. Even my wife, like did John Hamm. Then he tries to make himself look like a good guy. He kicks me out. He embarrasses me, shames me in front of my peer group. I have to tuck tail and walk out of the room. But then he has to get up and hug me. Oh, just to make sure everybody knows I'm a good guy. Yeah. Even my wife asked me, "Did he smell good?"
Oh
man,
I bet he did.
No, he didn't.
All right, let's talk football.
I've washed that shirt that he hugged me in three times. Still can't get the stench out.
Can we talk some football? Maybe some football rules.
If you'd like real football, I'm done with fantasy.
Yeah, I mean, all right.
Nerds.
Boy. I'll put Chris on the spot and look for a play that I saw last night. Okay, so what I do is I watch football, I see what the rules are, and then I'm annoyed by certain rules.
Okay.
And I would like to modify them, and you know, it's like raising the goalpost or something like that. Last night, and not as you hear this, but as I was watching the Chargers-Chiefs game. The Chargers were marching down, trying to get a score. Time was of the essence. They needed a score, and then they needed to get the ball back
because
right. they were down by two scores. And there was a play where it was probably about 2 minutes left in the game where they threw a swing pass. Gary remembers it. Because he's a Chargers fan, and they are fucking snake bit. He threw a swing pass out to the back. The back tried to stay in bounds and then got thrown out of bounds, and they just did the, we're winding it. And I'm tired. When I was growing up watching the NFL, if you got one hand out of bounds or you shove the ball, part of the dance was the clock's running until you get out of bounds. So guys would dive out of bounds just to stop that clock. Now they're doing this. It started with the Rams Super Bowl. And in the Rams, well, it didn't start with the Rams and the Patriots in the first Super Bowl. They said the guy got out of bounds, but he really didn't.
Oh, you're talking about the start of the dynasty. Yo, yeah, that's absolutely
yeah,
right.
But now they're just winding it. And so this guy, this running back, tries to cut back and just gets tossed out of bounds. And the ref comes in. He's like, we're winding it. It's like he is thrown out of bounds. Why are we winding this? And I think the argument is sort of like, stop this momentum, but for a millisecond. I'm done with the momentum thing. If you get out of bounds, you're out of bounds. Don't wind the clock.
It was
stop
a weird call. It really was a weird call. Where are my Chargers at? Are they on the big screen here?
It fucks up the game, too, because they needed every second they could get. I don't know what the rule is. Is it momentum?
It's when your forward progress is stopped, the play is stopped.
Yeah, he was stopped, but if he would have peeled back, he would have run for another 10 yards.
Like, the idea that we have, I mean, you go from watching, or in my case, I didn't watch, but a whole lot of the U.S. Open tennis, but a lot of people were tuned in. But you watch that technology where they can see if the ball hit a line or not and like zoom in super
right.
tight.
Using lasers.
And yet the NFL, which is infinitely more popular than tennis, you relies upon the subjective view of the septuagenarian sideline official. It's so crazy.
And if you're lucky, the camera that's mounted up, you know, in the stands.
And what makes it even worse, and I know that the networks are trying to make you feel good and satiated, like, I thought I saw it that way, but then they bring in the voice of another official to say, like, yeah, that ref got it wrong, which only makes you more angry. You're like, yeah, that's right. So why is the game still going then? They should stop the clock. It makes you loony looking at it.
We'll show you the play. And there's a throw. Sorry, there's 3 minutes and 16 seconds left, but they're down by 10 points. So they need the clock. And he swings it out to his running back.
A little bit of room.
And this is not the
play
this isn't at all.
Further along. It's along the right side.
That's why I said 2 minutes.
Okay,
that.
Okay.
All right.
It's down. It goes down at about 10:15.
Yeah. That and one other play. Casey's all-star tight end.
Travis Kelce.
He got body slammed. There was a crazy play.
I was surprised the penalty didn't
Derwin James got him. Yeah.
He got lifted and he got body slammed. And as soon as he got slammed, the ball just literally shot out from between his arms.
You can body slam people?
I was surprised. I don't know
where that one fall. You know, it doesn't fall under the heading of, you know, leading with the crown of your head or something. And it's not a horse collar. It's not a face mask. It's not roughing the kicker, the punter, or the quarterback. Mm-hmm. It's a sort of it would fall under a sort of general heading of being too rough, I guess, but it doesn't. Most of the stuff is he led with his helmet,
right,
or he grabbed his shoulder pad and horse collared him.
Face mask.
That, I don't know if there's a specific rule for the body slam, but the ball popped out. Now, I like
top rope.
Now they
go
to the ground, can't cause a fumble. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think it makes it more exciting when a guy gets body slammed and the ball goes sailing into the air. I don't like it when a guy, when they go, oh, he didn't fumble, because we see his knee hit a blade of grass a millisecond before the ball came loose. Like, I'm kind of like, if you can't hang on to it, you can't hang on to it.
But there's no sportsmanship rule about another guy coming in for the assist and throwing him to the ground?
You know, I feel like the coach from the Disney film where the donkey kicked field goals. I'm like, you show me in the rule book where it says. Because we got the face mask in, we got the leading with the hell of the crown and all that. It might fall under some rule, but
no,
I don't know what the rule is.
Right. I wouldn't mind if they would do, if the ball hits the ground, the ball hits it, and then it flies up, it's down.
Okay.
If you land on your back and the ball flies up like that, I will allow some
certainly
wiggle room in interpreting that rule.
Would have made that game a lot more
Can we
exciting.
Say this, though? Let's just pause and just delight in the glory of that uniform matchup.
Nice.
I don't know that we'll see its equal, the remainder. I know it were early on, and I don't want to get hyperbolic, but that may be the loveliest uniform matchup we'll see this football season.
Yeah, it's
beautiful.
Awesome.
It was nice.
And beautiful. Traditional.
Yes.
All right, the out-of-bounds play, Crystal. Fine.
We're looking for it.
Oh, it's right. It's the last drive.
I know. There's not a ton of NFL footage online.
I see.
We have to kind of go through different methods to get it.
All right. Well, we haven't. In that case, now, Sheck, do you got stuff you want to talk
they
about?
Don't love, they don't love showing plays that we're putting out highlights.
I see.
Like, oh, yeah. See, that's a terrible call. Drink it in, everybody. Some more. I did want to mention Bald Brian. I wanted to give a shout out to Bald Brian because he joined me on the debut of my new Spotify Live. It is, in fact, live sports trivia show.
Let's
talk about nerdy stuff. Mm-hmm. Bald Brian joined, and he competed with a huge fan of yours, Ace. I don't know if you are up to speed on Ellie Honig on CNN. He's their legal eagle over there.
Mm.
I might need to, as a matter of fact, I might need to tap into his legal services. If I could get Garagos and Honig on board. Good luck,
Ham. That's a dream team right
Good
there.
Luck. Yeah. Ham, you know, come on. He has a panel of high-end attorneys ready to do his Hollywood nonsense. But anyway, I'm sorry, I digress. I'm still a little raw about all that. Anyway, Ellie Honig, huge fan of the Adam Carolla show. As soon as I get off any appearance, hits me up, DMs me often.
Oh, yeah.
Bald Brian as well.
Nice
oh, that guy. Was funny. Damashek, not funny, per usual by you. But, you
I think
know,
he already has that
you
pre-written as a, like,
right.
a template. Yeah.
Now, Brian's pretty good at trivia.
I lost.
Mm.
Sorry, spoiler. Am I not supposed to say that?
No, that's fine.
Okay,
please.
I lost Mr. Ellie Honig.
Let's look at this.
For a lot of people listening to this show, that would be a reason to listen.
That's a good point. Yeah, I had a couple of brain farts there.
We have the play. Yeah, there's a minute 58 left in the game. I was off with my 2 minutes. Here we go.
Chargers have one timeout.
He swings it out.
Herbert
tries to cut it back, and then it's thrown
out. Would that not be out of bounds?
Oh, I don't know about that.
That was like a dance move. He just twirled him right off the...
He's winding the clock. Like he's just like, there's no more out of bounds than that, especially if you're used to watching football from back in the day. It just looked like he tried to cut it back and got slung.
And yeah, sometimes if a defensive player stands him up
and holds
him back
him for
a couple yards,
of, right.
they'll keep the clock running. He knocked him out of bounds.
Well, you know what? I honestly
dragged him out of bounds.
I honestly don't get this part of life. And maybe these guys swore an oath not to do this. But when one team is down by 10 points and there's under 2 minutes left and they've got to score, my impulse, if you were to give anything to like a coin toss, mm-hmm. would be kind of put it on the side of the team that's down. Let's just make it more exciting. Like, why am I hurting?
You've always been this way.
I've always been this way.
Three on three basketball, which is funny. I don't think people from a distance would think that. I certainly wouldn't guess that that's the way you view sports. But that's always been true for you, Ace.
You like the underdog.
You used to be like, we'd play three on three, and if somebody's toe was on the 3-point stripe, Ace would be always the one to step in and be like, he thought it was a three. Just give him the three. And I'd be like, no, I'm not giving him a three. Oh,
the other team. Yeah, I would do that. We'd play softball, like when the poor chick from the, you know, accounting hit it back to the pitcher and tried to leg it out. At some point, she'd inevitably turn left after going past, after running through first base.
And then
a guy like Hench would go berserk. She's got to go back to the dugout. And I'd be in center field going, just leave her. Just leave her. I think, by the way, this is a window to my sensibilities. Everyone thinks I'm a douche or unfair or whatever. It all comes out in the sporting realm. My wiring it is for the other team to just kind of go, well, let's keep playing or whatever.
We know what you meant.
I don't know why that's my wiring. It's always been my wiring.
Kimmel's the one who would torpedo Nancy from the production office.
Right.
Second base. Break up the DP.
I'm for it.
Put in spikes high.
Listen, I make no. It's all good to me. I'm just saying, next time somebody goes, you're being unreasonable, think about the time I was sitting backstage with Mike August and the guy from the club that was defunct and closing down outside of Texas in some bad neighborhood when their guarantee was $20,000, but the club owner said he only made $10,000 tonight. What do you want to do? And I went, I don't know, 15? And he went, Mike went, yeah, all right. And that was the last one. So I'm just saying it's not kept solely to the softball field or the blue top or the green room of the club outside of Houston. It's a general wiring I have. And if you think I'm an unreasonable person, I would offer many examples of me being reasonable. Maybe John Hamm should find a mirror.
Oh,
that's all
wow.
I'm saying. Like, and if I was John Hamm, I would have several mirrors.
Same.
But what I'm saying is I have a long history of being reasonable about things. So if you think I'm being unreasonable, maybe in this equation where there's two of us trying to dance and figure out who's being unreasonable,
factor it in.
Maybe I may be the
reasonable. So you're asking, now listen, your deeds, we've just covered a few of them, but this should guarantee you going forward now, just any debate, Adam Carolla must be the one who's reasonable here?
No, but I am a very – I believe, and this is part of the sort of bigger gestalt and problem of society we're in. Everyone should have a permanent record. Are you a fair person? Are you an honest person? What have you done? Almost like in the criminal code, it's criminal record.
Sure.
Like this guy's robbed a few people and he strong-armed a liquor store owner and stuff like that. But there is a sort of
John Hamm bullies Jew nerds.
Right. He hates the Jews.
Right.
Right. So what we do is we have you build a record up,
but it's not
on file with the FBI. It's just your interactions with people.
There should be rap sheets and rep sheets.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, for your reputation.
That's
you
good.
Build that reputation over years.
And as Brian and Adam might not know, you know, as Yom Kippur is right around the corner, that is the time to see if you're going to be written in the book of life another year by the way you treated people the
I
past
don't
year.
Like to talk about myself.
Just this once.
But you're just showing Kevin Hench on this this clip, right?
Yes.
Let's all just, you all think of the human being. Let's all, yourselves included.
Okay.
And anyone you know.
Okay.
Kevin Hench and I wrote the movie called The Hammer. The Hammer was based on my life, and I went to Hench and I said, I have an idea for a movie. We shall write it together. And he said, good. And then we painstakingly wrote The Hammer, It's a lot of Ozzy and working construction and working at the gym, and the Bruce, the guy's name at the gym, that was the guy, that was my boss at Bodies in Motion, and many scenes torn from the page of my life.
And Ham's remaking it with himself as the star. That's his thing. Remakes Top Gun, you know.
And
remakes Flash. What else is new? Also remaking himself in the starring role of being John Malkovich.
You're not even
John Malkovich, arrogant. I mean,
geez. And when we were done, Hench said, "May I have sole writing credit for this movie?"
Ballsy ask.
And I said, "Why?" And he said, "Well, your career's kind of off and running, and I'm trying to get mine kickstarted, and this would help my career a lot." And I said, "Very well. You shall take sole credit for writing this movie." All right. Who the fuck else do you know who would do that? And if not, and by the way, this isn't balls or strikes on a softball diamond. This is credit for writing a movie that was my life. So next time you call me unreasonable, go fucking find a mirror and tell me if you would do that. Or if you know someone who would do that.
The literal opposite happens all the time.
Oh, yeah.
We're like, wait, why? Isn't that guy the guy's agent? Like, how did he get EP credit on that thing?
Howard Lapidus is still hammering checks from the Man Show when Jimmy and Adam are gone. Now, Hench wrote a lot, and Hench is a great writer and a great friend. And as it turned out, As it turned out, that was kind of the beginning of what has now been a rocket sled ride to the moon. You know what really made Hench's career, who's currently probably running three sitcoms right now? You know what it was?
Tell.
You can ask him.
Adam Carolla's generosity.
No.
Oh.
No. A much bigger contribution I made to him than giving him credit for writing The Hammer. Now, some of it was like a SAG-AFTRA Writers Guild thing where it's like it can't be co-written, I think. Or I don't know what their fucking rules are. I hate those assholes. It's like, why can't we just say co-written by or whatever.
Team.
That's what we did. And it, for some reason, couldn't. So anyway. I said to Hench, and this is what really impacted his career. You got to change the frames to your glasses.
That's right. Oh, I forgot about that. Yes.
And he said, "Seminal moment. Why?" And I said, "You're just a white dude with kind of strawberry hair who likes sports and has sort of square guy, someone's stepdad frames.
Who isn't?
Hollywood's filled with fucking imbeciles that respond very positively to like a tattoo on someone's calf or cool frames or something cool with the facial hair. You have none of those trappings.
Okay.
You have none. You look as pedestrian as, you know, like a kid eating a raw Oscar Mayer hot dog. That's you. You're nothing. Raw. Now, I know you to be exquisitely funny and creative and smart, but those fucking dingbats in Hollywood don't know what funny and smart is. They respond to, Lena Dunham's got a tattoo on her shoulder. She must be a genius because they're fucking phonies, right? You can't walk in with those weird wire gold 80s frames, and that's why you're not getting work. You've got to get some cool frames. He got the cool frames. It all began after that.
Life-changing.
You know, I can't disagree with given the timing of it. And in fact, you called that shot, Ace. You really did. And once again, selflessly called it for Hench. I remember exactly you saying the cool frames. From that point on, what was that, 6 years ago, 7 years ago?
It was probably eight or nine, but it took off right after that. The Hammer probably helped, 10%, but the frames were the lion's share of what got him work in Hollywood.
Also, by the way, postscript, I'd love to pat Hench on the back, but ultimately when push came to shove, he also afraid of Ham a little bit.
Oh,
what,
really?
What am I supposed to feel bad for you? You got kicked out. Yeah, you're supposed
scared
to feel
of
bad
ham.
For me, Kevin. You see how it is. These Hollywood phonies.
Have you given any
taking
thought?
Care of each
oh,
other.
Oh, my
no
God. He looks a thousand times better with
the
new
frames. We're looking at the old frames and the new frames. It's sad that we live in an industry, like, I hope aerospace doesn't work that way. Like, we're not going to hire that guy. He's a PhD. Yeah, have you seen his frames?
Yeah.
He has no tattoos. He said he didn't like Radiohead, so he's out.
It is. I guess now that you bring it up, when you think back about that gaggle, that gang of 20 years plus at this point, You, Jimmy, Sal. By the way, shout out to Sal and everybody at Mush Media, Extra Points Network. Big day, big week, teaming up with Omaha, Peyton and Eli's company now. Going
really?
Forward, all our podcasts, all our nice. Produced nice. Stuff. So mazel tov to Cousin Sal and everybody. But when you think about it, overall, we are collectively a success story because we don't cut the figure of showbiz. I mean, listen, I'm a ham and egger, but all of you guys breaking out big time really defy the odds given our pedestrian appearance, right? Mm-hmm. We don't cut the figure of
regular dudes.
I don't think there's find me nine Hollywood guys collectively with zero tattoos.
Can't be done.
We don't show up needlessly in suits at work, that pretentious kind of move.
Like, yeah, there's no ironic dress.
Yeah, right.
Nobody drives. People drive sort of sensible cars. There's no ironic. Some people will drive like a 60s car or something just to have that je ne sais quoi.
Do any of you own a Pabst Blue Ribbon t-shirt?
I frown on the hipsters that drive.
We
the
don't
PBR.
Like hipsters.
Got it.
Why are you driving? I'm all for it. When I'm on the banks of the Three Rivers, I feel it's my requirement as a native to drink some Iron City beer. But I'm doing that to support.
When in Rome,
right? Yeah. This thing of drinking PBR on purpose, what? I don't get it. Well, how far are you taking this hipster thing? You're punishing yourself. They're superior beers right next to the PBR. What are you doing, hip guy?
They're being hip.
Have you thought about going into your own pocket and replacing the trophy to right this wrong, or you're just walking away from the whole thing?
I don't think I owe anyone
trophy and shirt?
Listen, I don't give a good goddamn about a trophy. Right, That's not why I got into this.
Gina started
that.
It's
my
fault. Wasn't me.
I didn't get into this to collect trophies. I did it for the glory.
Maybe Ham did.
I mean, can you imagine
he
for
wants
real?
To put it next to his
Did
Emmy?
You hear him on the kickout video too when he said, "You lost the trophy and now my name's not on it"?
Yeah.
You may not win the Ace Award for the Flo ads, but you'll probably be nominated, I think. So, how much more do you need, really?
All right, let's take a break. We got the Rotten Tomatoes game to play with Sheck, and we'll do that right after this.
Saddle up and get ready for Westerns Weeks on Pluto TV, all for free. We're coming in blazing with favorites like True Grit and Once Upon a Time in Mexico. Or immerse yourself in binge-worthy series like Yellowstone and Walker, Texas Ranger. Plus, Pluto TV has hundreds of channels with thousands more movies, TV shows, and more. The best part? It's free. No credit card, no sign-up, no fees. Download the Pluto TV app on all your favorite devices and start streaming now.